Hi, welcome to wilsonliling.com. Our heart is to make freely available resources to help inspire and equip people in the areas of leadership, intercession, and prophetic. I want to share something that's really I'm passionate about, and that is I believe leaders need to be courageous. For I believe that God is a courageous God, and He expects His people to be courageous, especially His leaders. Recently, I shared in the Hope Leadership Conference on this whole topic of the call to courageous leadership. In there, I was sharing about the fact that God is calling us as leaders to be courageous, because it's so important that leaders courageously lead. We need leaders who are able to initiate, to expand the boundaries, to push into new areas, break new frontiers. Leaders who be an example to others, because I believe courage will always breed courage. And so it's a powerful message that I believe will truly bless you and inspire you to rise up in courage before God. May you be blessed as you listen and watch this podcast.
You know, we've chose this topic of courageous leadership because we truly believe that this is a season where there has been increasing challenges, there's been increasingly difficult things happening, not only here in Australia, but all over the world. And so we really see that there's a need for the people of God, the leaders in God's house, to really rise up to the next level of courage, of boldness, of audacity before God. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. So we really pray that, that during this time, God will speak to us. God will stir something in our hearts. God will put a faith. God will put a courage. God will put an anointing upon our lives that we can begin to step into newer situations, expand our boundaries, go into new frontiers that God will lead us into. I'm believing God that God will begin to break something that has been holding us back, so that we can push forward in the things of God. God wants to do far greater things amongst His people and God's leaders in God's house. You are the key. Can you tell your neighbor, you are the key? Amen. And those online, you can tell your mates and tell yourself, you are the key as well. Hallelujah. And so that is why my topic today, I'm going to talk about the call to courageous leadership. Can we just pray? Let's commit this time to the Lord. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, that you have such a special call upon your people. And Lord, we pray that even today that we begin to understand one key aspect of this call that you're calling your people to, especially the leaders in your house, oh God. So Father, we pray tonight, speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will touch us. Your Holy Spirit will open our hearts and our understanding. Grant us the deeper revelation of your purposes, oh God. So Lord, we just commit all of us, even those online, unto you right now. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I want to explain to us why courage is godly. It is a godly thing when we are courageous. Well, the first reason is simply because God Himself is courageous. I've been a student of God for some time. I love to study God. I love to try to understand God. I've been reading through the Bible and thinking about God. How many of you do that every once in a while? Amen. I hope you've been doing that. So as I've been really trying to understand God, the more I look at God, the more I look at how He deals with my life and other people's lives, the more I realize the fact is that God is not a conservative, cautious being. You know, some people say God must be sovereign. And so because He's sovereign, He has to have everything mapped out, everything precisely planned, everything not so that everything runs like clockwork and everything will be perfectly fine. Well, God is not that kind of a sovereign God. God is not the kind that He wants to make sure everything is just, there's no, nothing that's just edgy or dangerous. God actually is not that kind of a God. God is a dangerous God. Do you know, if you follow C.S. Lewis, the lion, wardrobe, the witch and the wardrobe, and he says that what's the lion of Narnia? He's Aslan, yes, he's dangerous. And really, God is like that. God is actually dangerous. And you need to understand this. Even as God, in God, there's a perfect balance between holiness and the love of God. You have the perfect balance between justice, compassion, being principled and pragmatic. And I want to say as well, God is both sovereign and yet courageous in his choices. God takes creative, he's creative, he's courageous, but in a way that really pushes the boundaries. God is audacious. How would you feel if you live next door to a nuclear reactor? How many of you say, man, if I stay close to the nuclear reactor, I can get some free electricity? Would you do such a thing? That's what's happening in some places. Look at that. This is a real picture on your screen. And just think about it. Nobody in their right mind is going to say, I'll enjoy staying beside a nuclear reactor. But do you realize this? That's exactly what God has done for us. Our sun is an incredibly huge thermonuclear fusion reactor. That's what our sun is. And if you try to understand it, the sun, I've got this little ball. Let's imagine this, the sun. Yeah, it's called Wilson too. Whoa. Imagine this is the sun. And God basically put us, how far do you think we are from the sun? Basically, this diameter of this ball, if we represent the sun, we are just about 100 times, 100 balls away. So basically, it's like this ball is at one end of the room, and we're near this end of the room. That's how far we are. And in terms of a nuclear reactor, a typical nuclear reactor, the core of it, where all the nuclear things happening, it's about 2 to 4 meters. That means if you're staying about 2 to 400 meters away from a nuclear reactor, how would you like to stay next door to the nuclear reactor? That's how far we are from the sun. God put us that close. Man, we will be burned to crisps if we're not careful. Except for the fact that all the radiation coming out from the core of the sun gets converted on its way out of the sun so that it loses most of its harmless rays. But then there's still a lot of other stuff that's coming to us. And you know, our earth is protected by our atmosphere. You mean all the oxygen, nitrogen, ozone layer, yeah, that protects us. God is like putting a piece of feather in front of me before the nuclear reactor. God, that's all that's protecting me. And there's, in the picture you can see, these blue lines is just our magnetic field of our planet Earth. You mean the field where we can use our compass and see north and south? Yep, that weak magnetic field. That's all the natural processes protecting us from the thermonuclear fusion reactor of a sun. God put us right there. If anything goes wrong, which is why if you destroy the ozone layer, we're in big trouble. If anything goes wrong with the atmosphere, if the sun in some way stops diffusing its own radiation and dispersing it in some nice way, we will be toast. That's the end of us. God put us right there. What a courageous way to do things. You see, we need to understand, God is sovereign, but he also, in the way he works with us and works with the whole universe, he constrains his sovereignty in such a way to give his creatures the freedom to choose. Freedom to choose means freedom not to follow God's ways. God, if you want to have your plan work out perfectly, why in the world do you do that? If you want something to work out perfectly according to plan, you make sure everything just follows according to your processes and systems and obey all your instructions. But God, why in the world do you do this? But the very fact that God gives us this ability to choose for ourselves, that is why the archangel Lucifer decided, I'm not going to follow God. That's why a third of the angels said, yeah, me too. And they all walked away from God. That is why, because God gave us freedom of choice, that is why Adam and Eve said, I think I'll try something different. And because they fell in disobedience, guess what happened to the rest of mankind? God, what an incredible plan that utterly failed. God, you created all this and look at the disaster of your master plan. Or is it? You see, what a dangerous way to do something, oh God. But that's the way God is. We need to understand something about God. Why would God do that? Why plot such a dangerous path where you give people that freedom of choice in such a way they actually choose to deny you, they actually choose to walk away from you, they actually choose to disobey you? Because God has a greater purpose in mind. Because God has a greater outcome in mind. But to get there, it requires a far more dangerous route to get there. It means giving people the freedom to decide, to choose. Because when we can decide, we can decide to love. When we can decide to have compassion. When we decide, we can choose to be holy. Because we can decide, we can therefore be molded eventually to be more and more like God. Because that is God's ultimate aim. He's raising a people that's going to reflect Christ and to be more like Him. But to do that, He has to give us choice. Even if it means we could destroy ourselves. What a dangerous choice that God was making. Think about this. You know, those of us who are parents, when we're trying to raise children, we face a dilemma. We could keep our children perfectly safe from everything if we just control every aspect of their life. But if we did that, our children would never grow up properly. They would not have the understanding, the skills, the knowledge, the maturity, the character to go on in their life in a good way. So as parents, if you want them to grow up into maturity and have character and be wise, we have to step away and let them make more and more decisions in their life. And they will make some bad decisions every so often. And it's a dangerous route. Because you don't always understand what's going to happen to your children. That is what God is doing with us. It's dangerous. It's scary. How many of you parents know sometimes it's painful when things don't go the way you hoped with your children? It's challenging. But God has been walking this route Himself with us. God is a courageous God. Can somebody say amen? He's taking a route which is not safe and predictable, at least in our understanding. But because God wants the best outcome, He wants the highest outcome. And He says, I'm going to let you guys walk that route. And it's dangerous. When I try to think about it, I say, oh God, look, the majority of people of this world have not chosen you at all. Why? Wow. God, you have chosen a dangerous route. But He knows in His wisdom, it's the best route. The second thing we notice is that Jesus is courageous. Think about the very life, the very mission of Jesus. It's a testimony to His courage. Think of this. What sort of courage would it take for God, God who is almighty, who is infinite, to allow Himself to be constrained to a human body and be like a human being? Fragile, vulnerable. In fact, Jesus, as you know, He was crucified on the cross, mocked, humiliated, and gave His life. Wow. God, wow, must have so much courage to say, I'm going to suffer all of this. I'm going to feel all that. I'm going to go through all of this when He did not need to at all. Jesus is courageous. Jesus is our ultimate example of courage itself. Isn't it just incredible? But then we need to understand now, God calls His leaders to be courageous. Can you look at each other and say, God calls you to be courageous? Pastor Brandon. God calls His leaders to be courageous. When you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, it says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and of self-discipline. Now, I know some of us, we are going to feel really challenged right now because you are saying to yourself, I am the timid, gentle, conservative person. I will never say moo to a mouse. boo to a mouse. In fact, the mouse probably says boo and I run away. Right? Some of us may be feeling like this right now. Can I say something honest? I was like that. That's my natural self. I am highly conservative. I did civil engineering for a very particular reason. Civil engineers, we always over-design. You know, we always make sure this building, when we design it, it must take the weight at least 3-4 times what you would possibly ever put on it. This is just so that we are safe. That's the way we design everything. That's why I was a civil engineer. But I came to realize that if I'm going to serve the Lord effectively, if I'm going to serve the Lord in ways that He wants me to, I cannot remain safe and cautious and conservative as Wilson Lim. I have to change. If I'm to grow in the things of God, I have to walk more and more like God. I have to grow in courage more and more like God. And that has been my journey, my own journey of growth for myself. And so one of the things we got to understand is this. If you truly want to follow Christ, don't let your limitations limit you. You have to break past some of these limitations and say, simply because I'm following Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate example of courage. And so I need to grow in courage if I'm going to be more and more like Christ. And that's something we need to understand as God's people, as leaders. You know, Christ followers, we often love to embrace the very nature and characteristics that we like about Jesus. Jesus is so loving. Jesus is so merciful. Oh, that's what I like. That's like me. I want to be more loving. I want to be more merciful. Did you know Jesus was sometimes just absolutely speaking frankly the truth? Oh, but that's not me. I don't like to upset anybody. I don't like to offend anybody. But that's what Jesus is. You know, one of the challenges for us is that we often embrace what we like about Jesus. But what about the aspects that we don't like about Jesus? If we're going to be more like Jesus, we got to embrace all of who Jesus is. So for me, the conservative, civil engineering, Wilson, I had to step beyond this Wilson that I was and say, I've got to walk with Jesus. That means being a little bit more edgy, being more courageous, taking more risks, stepping out even when I don't know what's going to happen. Jesus walked on water. So I think I got to do a little bit of that. I haven't done it yet. Not yet succeeded. But if God tells me to, well, I got to step out. By the way, I better learn how to swim just in case. Hallelujah. So, think about this. Leaders, we are meant to lead God's people in God's purposes. That means also to be courageous. That is part of our responsibility as leaders. Leaders, we set the pace. If we are not bold and courageous, we cannot expect our people to be bold and courageous. So can we look to God, look to Jesus, and say, oh God, I see this in you. You are courageous. So help me to walk that path. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, can I explain here why? Why is it courage matters for leaders? I want to break this down a bit. Firstly, courage will break open new frontiers. Courage is always needed so that we may initiate things. Just imagine if John, an office manager, walks into his office and he sees his one of the mates in there, say Mark, and Mark's just eating away his lunch, and he says, hey, Mark, is there a smell of some smoke? Then he looks out the window and suddenly he sees next door, the big factory there is burning. It's a big fire. And he's like, wow, call the 000 and all this. And I say, Mark, didn't you see the fire burning? And Mark's just eating away. Yeah, I did, half an hour ago. So when did you do anything? It's not my job description. Besides, it's another company's factory. You see, Mark doesn't care. He has no initiative. He doesn't deal with anything if it's just outside of his scope of attention. And when you have that lack of initiative, it's a problem. Leaders need to have the initiative, the courage to say, hey, hold on a minute. I see something. It's not in my job description, but I got to do something about this thing. Even if it means sticking my neck out for this thing, I got to do something about it. Leaders, we need to have the courage to take the initiative, even if it's outside of our area of responsibility, because you understand things need to be done. Leaders don't work only according to their job D. How many say amen to that? Amen. We take initiative. That is what God is looking for. The other thing we need to do is to enlarge the boundaries. Isaiah 54, verse 2, we've heard of this. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, hallelujah, and strengthen your stakes. Enlarging your boundaries is about becoming bigger and better at what you have been doing well. You know, I love what Reinhard Bonnke had done. But I'm so excited with his successor, Daniel Kolenda. He's now taken responsibility for Christ for all nations. And he's begun to expand it. Now, instead of when time of Reinhard Bonnke, they will hold crusades and will move from town to town, cities to cities, and preach to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. But now, Daniel Kolenda has multiplied this. He has multiple crusades in multiple cities, multiple nations happening at the same time. And what he does, he's raised other evangelists who are preaching simultaneously in all these things. And he hops from one to the other, just drop in for one session here, one day there, and he preached with them. But he keeps moving on. And so they've multiplied the work that CFAN has been doing. Praise God, he has expanded the ministry. Can somebody thank God for him? Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing he's doing. And it's the sort of thing that we need to believe God for. When we started in the early days in Brisbane, we were reaching out to students. And we're constantly believing God that we can expand the ministry. My heart is that we can see the student ministry expand to every campus and every university in Brisbane, Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast. There's one place we haven't been, Sunshine Coast. I want to believe God that we continue to enlarge the boundaries. Because if the kingdom of God is to extend its boundaries, we need to do our part. We need to believe God. That takes boldness. That takes courage. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. But how many of you know, because when you're actually doing it, how tough that is, right? All you Brisbane guys, all you here who's doing that, how tough it is to do this. Because you've got to sacrifice your leaders. Bye-bye. Go over to the other campus. And you don't just send your leaders. You don't just send people. You support them. You pray with them. You visit them. You help them solve their problems, whatever comes up. And if they lack leaders, you send more leaders. There's all these challenges when we expand the ministry. Enlarging our boundaries also means enlarging your problems. Sometimes we look at big churches and we say, wow, I wish we had a church as big as this church. Yes, they also have big problems. Bigger problems. Yes, Richard knows this. Bigger problems. More people, more problems. More ministries, more complications. More money, more stress. There's all these things. It is getting larger. But we need to have the courage to grow, to enlarge ourselves. God will enlarge us so that these things will fall within the capacity of our heart to embrace. Because we believe in God, because we're walking in courage. If we say, no, God, I don't want more stress. Oh, God, I don't want more people problems. Oh, God, no, I don't want more complicated problems. My brain's all gone fuzzy with just thinking about some of the problems. God, help me. It's with courage that we step beyond this and say, God, grow me, help me by the grace of God. So that the kingdom of God can enlarge. So can I encourage you? Maybe you're leading a small group. Maybe you're leading a life group. Maybe you're leading a unit. Maybe you're leading a little ministry. Don't just stay there. Don't just dream small. Dream big. Because God dreams big. And God is saying you can grow. I started out just trying to help out in a small Bible study. That's all I did. That was my early days. And I was so stressed already. I said, oh, this troublemaker. How many of you have troublemakers in your life group? They call the person who asks too many curly questions that you don't understand what they're talking even about. You have people who quarrel with each other. People who hold totally different theology from you. And you're like, ooh. You know. And all these things. And some people seem to have emotional breakdown every second life group. You counsel them. You counsel them so well, but they still keep having more problems. Hello, that's what happens. And then, yeah. But when you grow, you find more. The problems get bigger, deeper, more long-lasting. You just say, I wish it was so easy to just cast the demon out of them and the problem solved, but it's not like that. But it grows you. It enlarges your leadership. How many say amen to that? So all the tired, weary leaders, praise God for your problems. It's meant to grow you. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Also, can I say this? That courage helps us because we need it to break new ground. You see, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to the ancestors to give them. So Joshua, he needed a lot of courage from God so that he can lead the people, his people, whole nation of people into the promised land. But guess what? They haven't fought those sort of battles. Now they had to fight battles on every place around them to take over the land. They've never before governed a whole nation of people to settle down. He had to learn all these things. It's absolutely something he's never done before and never seen before. And he was to step into this. He needed great courage to break new ground. Breaking new ground is about new things, new ventures, things we've never done before. And so can we grow in the courage before God who says, okay, I'm going to go forth. Help me, Lord. I'm going to start a new thing, start a new ministry, start a new church, start a new life group. Whatever it is God is calling me to start and pioneer. Yes, I've never really experienced it before. But God, because you're telling me to, I'm going in. We need to have that kind of courage so that we can expand the things of God. The kingdom of God is meant to continue to push forward. New people groups, new locations, new challenges, new cultures, new languages, all kinds of situations. Will we have the courage when God calls us to step out into those situations? I want to encourage us to do so. The second thing that's so important for us is that as leaders, we need the courage to tackle obstacles and setbacks. As leaders, we're going to face all kinds of obstacles. We may as well say to ourselves, that's going to be normal. Don't be shocked and surprised by obstacles. Oh no, that's another problem. God told me to take this place, take this land. Why are there problems? Why are we asking this question? It's a given. Wherever you're to push forward, you will have problems. You may as well come to terms with it. Problems is just part of my growth process. If you can understand that, that will be so tremendous. So God is looking for leaders. We're going to rise up. That we're going to tackle their unique challenges by looking for God-glorifying solutions. God, help me find the solution to solve these unique problems. Wow. Leaders who can move forward with some of these challenges, that we can begin to resolve those difficult problems with God-inspired solutions. I remember years ago, I was about to be sent to Brisbane, and they were offered me a job that I couldn't take because I was still on my student's visa. And I knew, logically, the legal thing says, I cannot take this job. But we knew this is the job God wanted me to take so that he'll bring me to plant the church in Brisbane. And I call up the education department, and I said to them, can you allow me to work? They say, no, the rules don't allow you to work. 20 hours maximum. You cannot take this job with CSIRO to work as a scientist. Then I was praying there and God gave me an inspiration. And I said to them, hey, you know what? I have friends who go home overseas to finish the writing up of their thesis. I'm now in the phase where I'm writing up my thesis. So can you consider me as supposedly leaving Australia to study? So you can revoke my education visa so that I can now apply for a new visa to work. And they're like, we've never heard such a thing. Nobody's ever done such a thing. And I thought she was just going to say, just give up, this utter nonsense. But no, the lady said, wait a moment, I'll talk to my boss. And I was praying the phone, Shandaraba Kushakaraba. Oh God, if this is your inspiration, you got to do something. After a few minutes, she came back and says, okay, we've never done this before, but we're going to do this for you. Wow. Right at this point, you're no longer a student officially. So she canceled my visa. That means now I could apply for the next visa. But at the moment, I became illegal immigrant. I had no visa. I was like, okay, quick. The next thing was call up CSRO. CSRO, you got to do something now. You got to get me a visa. You know. And so it just God worked the situation. It was amazing. It was incredible. I thought I was in disaster zone, but God changed it into something miraculous. How many say amen to that? Amen. So God is looking for leaders who will confront the impossible situations, looking for the miraculous intervention. Have you ever thought about Moses and the Red Sea? Do you know that God engineered them into an impossible situation? God had them wandering around for a little while Pharaoh got his act together and said, hey, I can't just let these guys go. Man, this is a shame and embarrassment to me, the Pharaoh. So I got to get them back. And so after Pharaoh decided, God said, okay, guys, why don't you head towards this edge of this Red Sea, hemmed in amongst the cliffs of the mountains. And you look, you study geography, it's all among those crevices. They went this tiny little road. They went all the way to the Red Sea and they entered this beautiful beach, which is hemmed in by all the mountain sides. So they couldn't go forward because of the sea. They couldn't go to the side because of the mountains. They couldn't go back because Pharaoh was coming right after them. And then you just imagine, God engineered them into that situation, the impossible situation. They could have given up, but Moses believed God. Moses had the courage to say, God, you can deliver us. And because Moses looked to God, God opened the Red Sea. And we all know the rest of the story. Sometimes God brings us into impossible situations. But will you have the courage to look to God? Will you have the courage to push through? Will you have the courage to say, God, whatever it is you're going to do? The other thing we don't always realize is how dangerous it was for them to walk through the Red Sea. It's several tens, if not 100 meters of water that was rushed up, pushed up, and they had to walk under it. And can you imagine all these waters? What held these things back? Nothing but the wind. And a million over people had to cross this dirty, wet, muddy Red Sea the whole night. Just the winds is just holding this back. And they're walking through. If just for a moment God blinked, and God said, oh, man, this is tiring. Oh, it's been a long night. If God just blinked for a moment, the seas would just cave in. And that would be the end of all these people. I can imagine everyone I'm crossing through, they wouldn't be like, hey, let's take some selfies. Wow, me and the Red Sea. They would be like, quick, help everybody, the babies, the old folks, carry everybody, quick. We don't know how long this is going to last. Hurry up, move everybody across. Because it was so dangerous. Nobody's going to sit down, lay down, Matt has a picnic. Wow, look at the whale, the white shark. Man, the octopus. This is like an aquarium, you know, SeaWorld or something. No, they were just doing their best to rush through this whole place. God is looking for leaders who will rise up with courage. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Can I also say that the third key thing for us as leaders to understand is that courage breeds courage. I've noticed this. Courageous leaders tend to have courageous followers. Courageous leaders create a courageous culture. The people begin to rise up and says, yes, I can see why this can be done. Because I've seen my leader doing this thing. When there's impossible looking situations, he's calm, he's cool. He just raises his staff like Moses, you know. And we're like, whoa, what's he doing? Is he crazy? And then suddenly the impossible situation is resolved by God. And people say, whew, I've learned something powerful. Because my leader was courageous. And they've shown how they remained steady. How their faith did not waver. How they were willing to face the challenge, the persecution, the pain even at times. But they've always trusted God. God, I can see how it's done. If I just do likewise, I can learn and I can grow. So I want to encourage us. As leaders, we set the pace. If you want to have a courageous people, you have to be courageous in God. Amen. And God has shown us the example. Jesus is our perfect example. And if we can look to Jesus and say, okay, God, you're telling me something. Let's do it. You know, I love to watch some movies. How many of you watch Top Gun Maverick? Yeah, Tom Cruise. Still handsome, still short. Okay, so all those of you who are feeling a little bit short, you're fine. Okay. And if you, how many of you have seen the movie? Sorry. Okay, not all of you. The rest of you, you're not adrenaline junkies, right? So this is the adrenaline junkie movie. But here it is. Let me tell you the story very shortly. There's this mysterious enemy of a nation. They've got a uranium facility, which means they can create nuclear bombs. Simple. So what they're going to do, all these good so-called Americans, is they're going to destroy that uranium facility so these bad guys can create some nuclear bombs. And so the crux of the story is this. How in the world are we going to destroy this thing? Because it's done in such a wonderful way that they have this, again, like the Red Sea, where you get to the enemy, you have to get past all the defense, the aircraft defense and everything, the missiles and everything, the fifth generation best planes in the world. How can you get through there? Well, the only way is you got to fly along this narrow canyon, shoot up this huge hill at an incredible steep height, and then drop down steeply and shoot a missile right into a tiny hole like Star Wars situation. Those of you know the story. So that the missile will go straight in and destroy the uranium facility. Simple. You only need the force, except they don't have the force. So here comes Maverick. Maverick is the only guy that can figure this thing out. So he tells the younger pilots, who are all the top pilots in the United States, this is what you need to do. Do this, fly up there, zoom down there, shoot it through. You have only one missile, by the way, to shoot it in, and then you fly up, and when you fly out, all the enemy planes will notice you, and they will kill you because you don't have fifth generation fighter aircraft. And so they train, and they train, and they train, and nobody could do it. Nobody could fly there fast enough before they're detected by the air defenses. Nobody could fly in and fly out and avoid those fighter planes. And so in the end, the commander says, fire. Tom Cruise, you're fired. We're going to change the plan. We'll fly above the ground. Yes, we'll reach all these missiles. We'll get there. Everybody's like, we're going to die. So what did Maverick do? I'll break the rules. That's what he always does. So he stole one of the planes and flew the whole thing, and did that whole thing, and showed them it could be done in that amount of time. So the poor commander said, I should have court-martialed you for stealing the aircraft, but now, because you proved it could be done, you're going to lead the team. And so when he led the team, what happened? They learned how to live their game. And they all flew fast enough, well enough, to finally destroy that uranium facility. See, what Tom Cruise did was he lifted the bar. He lifted the courage level. He lifted the skill level. He lifted their ability to believe in themselves to do the job. When a leader is courageous in God, the leader raises the courage level of the people. And they begin to look to God. They begin to rise up in God. Yes, it was painful. And those guys, they went through a lot of pain to get to where they did. The risk factor increased, but they went and overcame those risk factors because Maverick showed it could be done. Leaders of God got to show the people it can be done in God. Can somebody say amen? God is always looking for the Moses, the Daniels, the Joseph, the people who will say yes, despite the tremendous risk, have the courage to say, God, I'm going to trust you in this and I'm going to rise up in this thing. And when we do that, amazing things begin to happen. Gideon was a man who couldn't believe in himself. Gideon was a man that struggled to believe God. Gideon thought he was the smallest, most insignificant in his family. He thought that surely he could contribute nothing to the purposes of God. But when he began to hear God, when he began to listen to God, when he began to hear what God was saying to him, he began to believe God. He began to trust what God can do. And so he began to place his courage on what God was going to do. And because he began to have the courage, because he began to rise up in God, he was able to call others to believe in God and to rise up in God. And because he believed, he was able with his team to begin to do incredible things because he rose up in courage. Gideon was hiding like a mouse, threshing wheat and behind a wine press, hiding away so that nobody would notice him. That's where he was. But when he looked to God and trusted God, God made him the most prominent of leaders that led his nation to an incredible victory over the enemies. God is looking for people like you and I. You may be feeling like a timid mouse, church mouse, hiding somewhere, hiding away. But will you trust God? And you will see what God can do. How many of you say amen? God are looking for people like us, you and I. He's not always looking for people who are most brave, most courageous. God is just looking for ordinary people like you and I who will respond to God, who will say, yay, amen. Lord, whatever you have seen in me, I'm going to walk with you. God saw something in me that I never saw in myself. I was happy being a nice church member that comes to church. I was happy in the back recording the sermon tapes and not being in front. I was happy in the bus bringing people to church. I was happy doing those things. That was what I was most comfortable doing. But God said, Wilson, that's not what I want you to keep doing. I want you to take on this new venture. And every time I said yes, it was scary. When I came to Brisbane, my knees were knocking. Shut up, knee. You got to be confident. But as I walked with God, my knees got less wobbly. It got firmer. And then God says, now I want you to take this. Oh. Shh. And after a while, I got used to it. Okay, I'm steady now. This is good. And then God says, take the next step. Oh. Hallelujah. Thank God for my wife who always says, Wilson, yes, you're all right. You can do it. God says so. So we okay. And I know sometimes her knees shake too. She's like, Wilson, what are you doing? Why do you say yes? Oh, God told me to say yes. So God is looking for people like you and like me. You may look at me today and you think, Pastor Wilson, you're just a bit unusual. You know, you're a super courageous leader. No, not where I began. I'm just like an ordinary member, happily, comfortably doing what I'm familiar with. But with each step of faith that I took with God and I grew in God, God brought me to where I am today. And God can do the same for all of us. Amen. Can we stand? Could I have a muso or two on the keyboard? Or can we just look to God tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is calling us to be courageous. Oh, hallelujah. I want to share a story that the late Rick Seward shared with me. Rick Seward, who is the apostle of the Victory Family Center. Some years ago, I was with him in Uganda with Brendan. And he shared with me the story of how that church planting work really took hold in Uganda. It was around the late 80s, I think. And at that time, civil war was breaking out in Uganda. And many, many expatriates, even missionaries, were fleeing the country because of the civil war. And then God spoke to Rick and said, you must go in. And he said, wow, it's so dangerous. War was breaking out. To fly in, they chartered a plane and secretly flew in many times in the dead of the night to come, to visit, meet with the pastors, to encourage them. And he began to put out a call in his church, say, who would want to go and work with the Ugandan churches and pastors? I want volunteers who will go there. And he said, one lady, a young lady, she was a young lady at that time, and she put up her hand. and said, I volunteer. And he spoke to her and said, do you realize, of course, how dangerous it is? When you go there, I cannot guarantee that you will ever come back again. And she said, I know. But God told me to. And she went. She became one of the top missions directors. And today in Uganda, they planted thousands and thousands of churches. What an incredible thing that's happened. Pastor Rick told me, because they went in during the war and they supported the churches there trusted him after that. They allow him the room to do so much amongst the churches in Uganda because they knew that he felt for the people, that he was committed to the churches in Uganda. All because he is a man who had the courage to believe God. Because there were people like this young lady who had the courage to say, I'm willing to trust God, so I'm going in. What an incredible thing. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we just look to you. Let's just look to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise your mighty name, Lord. You're such an incredible God. You're such an amazing God. You're such a courageous God. And so, Father, we pray tonight, stir something in our hearts. Oh, speak to us, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. As we were worshiping the Lord tonight, I just felt the Lord tell me that some amongst you right now, you seem to be stuck in some relationship issues. And the Lord is saying, will you have courage to deal with those issues? Not to be bound by that relationship situation. It's time to have courage to deal with it. There's someone here, even right now, you have a work situation that you're feeling so stuck in. And the Lord is saying, the Spirit of the Lord is saying, will you have courage to speak up and address that situation at work? Just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. It's time to grow in courage before God. Oh, hallelujah. And I just felt tonight, the Lord is wanting to challenge us. Will we come to God and say, God, Lord, help me to be courageous. Help me to be able to courageously say yes to you when you call me. Whatever it is, Lord, can I be courageous? And I just felt God's calling different ones. He's saying, if you want to respond to God and say, God, I want to be courageous in you. I want to invite you to respond to God and come in front of the altar and we're going to pray together. If you're saying, God, I know you're speaking to me. Whatever situations you might be confronted with right now, but the Spirit of God is saying, will you be courageous in the midst of those challenges? Will you be a courageous leader? If that's you, just come in front and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for greater anointing of courage. We're going to pray for greater breakthroughs. We're going to pray for greater faith to rise up in our hearts that we can step out into the purposes of God. If that's you, just come forward and say, God, help me, Lord, that I may be more courageous. Lord, help me walk that very path that Jesus walked of courage.
We trust you've been blessed by the word today. Do visit www.wilsonliling.com for more messages and teachings. For the latest news and updates, follow Facebook and Instagram, wilson.liling.